IoT is all about connecting tiny devices to the internet, right? But how do you make those tiny devices smart? That's what is called TinyML, and that's the topic of today's IoT show with Miguel and Lucas. Hey everyone, this is Benjamin. I'm your host today on the IoT show. Welcome. Thanks for joining. I'm super thrilled to talk about all things machine learning today, machine learning on tiny devices. And I'm joined today by Miguel and Lucas. Guys, how about you introduce yourselves and tell us a bit what you do at Microsoft? Miguel, do you want to go first?
Sounds good. Hello, my name is Miguel Morales, and I'm an IoT device specialist at Microsoft.
Hey, Lucas, welcome.
Hey guys, this is Lucas. I'm the technical specialist in IoT devices from Microsoft as well.
Great, and I think Lucas, you have some great demos for us, and we'll talk in a bit. Miguel, there's one thing I wanted to begin with. Like, this is the IoT show. Like, people, I think know what IoT is, but machine learning for IoT. Like, can you maybe tell us a bit what it means to try and use like these fancy techniques to make things smart? What does that mean for IoT? What are the typical use cases you see?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a tremendous amount that are emerging, which is what we're here to talk about. But just to call out a few, we see applications in sensor fusion. So you're combining, blending, optimizing sensor inputs to drive insights earlier and more efficiently at the edge. Anomaly detection for predictive maintenance is another important thread. So essentially, you're able to identify the normal operation and variations away from that and indicate the actions that should be taken as a result. Anomaly detection for security, digital signatures, network and communication patterns can be monitored for unexpected behavior. Even some video applications like person and object detection on very small format microcontrollers are what we're discussing today.
Okay, I see. Interesting, actually, you mentioned doing like sensor fusion at the edge. When I think about machine learning and AI, like typically I think about those like crazy beefy machines with GPUs or like machines in the cloud that do all the training with huge machines, etc. But you're telling me that like we are doing more and more machine learning at the edge, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the machine learning started with very large compute implementations and cloud computing implementations. And increasingly, customers and consumers are facing challenges with things like data latency, network throughput, reliability, energy consumption, even model accuracy. Privacy is becoming a consideration, particularly when it comes to biometric data. So these are all examples where you need more of that intelligence down at the endpoint itself. And so TinyML specifically refers to an emerging set of general purpose machine learning tools and models designed to execute in resource constrained, low cost microcontroller or MCU architectures.
I see. Okay. So, and there's tons of MCUs out there, right? So I guess the idea is to be like, hey, not only do I have like my sensors for temperature and whatnot, but what if I could actually make them slightly smarter and use the fact that there's actually some intelligence already in there to try and deploy some machine learning model, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the interesting part about TinyML is you're enabling artificial intelligence directly in the smallest and most ubiquitous endpoints that exist in the marketplace. So the implications are huge. On a yearly basis, MCU shipments outpace MPU or microprocessor shipments by almost an order of magnitude. And they sell for more than an order of magnitude lower price. So when you start to pair those market dynamics with easy to use tools, a secure deployment vehicle, that's natively connected, you have the ingredients for a real tipping point in the embedded systems market.
Okay, I see. But yeah, I mean, I think I mentioned that just before, like really when I think about machine learning, like I really don't think about this stuff that can actually run on super constrained devices. Now you're telling me that we are getting there. What has changed essentially? What's made that possible?
Well, a lot of things have changed and have made that possible, but we're going to focus in on three things today. Three major vectors that have contributed to the viability of TinyML. So one is ultimately the reduction in resources required to train and execute a machine learning model. Two, improvements in the ease of development of the machine learning models. And three, the convergence of that capability with IoT technologies, specifically secure, natively connected MCUs and over-the-air updates.
I see. And so MCUs, so microcontrollers, like what's your definition of a microcontroller? Just to make sure that our audience gets like what it means, how small are we talking about when it comes to TinyML?
Yeah, so specifically for the sake of this conversation, we're focusing on Cortex-M 32-bit instruction sets. So this, and in particular, the demonstration platform that we're discussing today is an Azure Sphere microcontroller from Microsoft. It includes two Cortex-M cores as the targets to train and execute the models. And what you'll find is that many of the more popular or existing frameworks that are out there, like a TensorFlow or TVM, will add a diminutive
TensorFlow Lite or
exactly right. TensorFlow Lite micro TVM to indicate. And to date, in particular, we're honing in on four such solutions from Microsoft partners. Some like resource optimization, one that excels at being collaborative, easy use development tool, and then we'll talk a little bit about the Azure Sphere MCU.
I see. So yeah, so TinyML, it's ML on MCUs. So thanks for highlighting like what was your, I guess, definition of the typical target for TinyML. But then earlier you also mentioned this is about like using all those insights you get from your machine learning algorithms to drive your IoT scenarios, right? So can you maybe, you mentioned Sphere, and I see Sphere as an IoT platform, essentially an IoT hardware platform. Just in a nutshell, what is Sphere?
Yeah, well, the idea is that however intelligent your MCU might be, if it lives in its own echo chamber, then you're not going to be able to get the maximum value out of that application, right? You're not going to be able to learn in machine learning. You can't share your learnings. And so you need a secure link to your cloud or an on-premise application to make that possible. And you don't just need a connection, but you also need features that integrate seamlessly with your IT and enterprise environment. So that's what Azure Sphere provides. It has secure silicon, it has a secure IoT channel connection. It even has a separate and secure OTA channel, an over-the-air update channel, in case you want to update your ML models or the firmware in the future. So it pairs really nicely with TinyML. It creates that easy IoT baseline on which to build your new intelligent solution. In fact, my peer, my technical peer, Lycus, is going to talk about how TinyML solutions run on the Azure Sphere MCU.
Is this demo time?
I think so.
You there?
Hey, Benjamin.
Hey, how's it going?
So good.
We've been talking about like those sort of three pillars, I guess, of TinyML, right? With mm-hmm. and the fact that in order to just do TinyML for IoT in the first place, you need help from like a tooling perspective, I guess. You need help from let's make sure that my model actually fits and runs on my small devices, and then like let's get some help on the connecting stuff to the IoT platform as well, right? So, what kind of demos do you have for us today, showing a bit of everything, I guess?
Yeah, a little bit of everything. So we are featuring a couple of solutions today. One of which we will demonstrate with the videos. But all of the solutions that we are featuring will be running on Azure Sphere. And as Miguel mentioned earlier, the first vector of innovations come from the resource optimizers in ML algorithm, right? And what we mean by that, if you look at the typical machine learning processes, you have two sides of the world. One is the training side and the other one is the inferencing side, right?
So the first partner that we are featuring today is called Cartesium. Cartesium has a product called NanoEdge, which essentially providing innovations on the training side of things. What it does is it allows users to push the machine learning training to the edge itself. What it helps here is in some of the scenario where you have a different environment that you want to operate in, for example, different geolocations with temperature as a data point. In a typical way of doing things, you might need to pre-train two sets of machine learning model for these two environments.
So with NanoEdge platform, it allows you to push the training on the edge, which means you just probably have to create a template, setting up a couple of data points that you want to set, and then you can just deploy on this type of environment and it will do the training by itself and inferencing and give you the result and insight that you want.
I see. Okay, so that makes for like a super portable, almost no training kind of approach. But I'm guessing there's also use cases where folks may have existing models based on maybe decades of data that they've acquired. And like, what if I want to take this data and turn it into a model that fits on small devices?
Yeah, absolutely. For this type of customers, we will recommend OctoML. OctoML has a product called Optimizer, which essentially allows you to take existing larger machine learning model and convert it into a tiny ML model for your hardware. That model can run on the micro TVM runtime, which is miniaturized for Cortex MCU, and in which our case, Azure Sphere.
I see. So like I take an existing TensorFlow model and I just convert it to something that runs on Sphere or other MCUs. Okay, cool.
Yeah, TensorFlow, PyTorch, Onyx, those type of models will be applicable as well.
That's cool. But I mean, what if the model is more, I mean, I think we mentioned earlier, computer vision scenarios. Like if I have an existing model for a computer vision, sure, I can probably do computer vision at the edge, but like the model might be super big. And like, are you aware of solutions that help in that regard?
Yeah, so that's probably one of the most common use cases that you can think of when we talk about machine learning in the edge, right? One of our partners, MediaTek, which is the silicon provider for MT3620, has a NeuroPilot Micro SDK, which essentially allowed you to run a TensorFlow model in Cortex M Core. But instead of me talking, why not we just jump into the short demos that we have?
Sure. So what are we looking at?
So right now you are looking at architectures that is powered by Sphere, that connecting to a video that doing object detection. You can see it can detect dog, car, and also as well the person detections at the same time. So not only the pictures, but you also can see some of the video feed that was showing to the camera. It can detect in a pretty good performance, to be honest, if you look at the hardwares that we are running on top of that.
I see. And so I bet like that's typically a model that would be pretty big. So it might not even fit in the memory of the device, I guess. Like, so what, in a nutshell, do you know how they achieved this?
That's a great question. The demo that you're looking at right now, it implemented two strategy. One is MediaTek have taken full advantage of the multi-core architectures that provided by Azure Sphere by splitting the video analytic workload in each of the core. So in Sphere, we have two M4 core, as Miguel mentioned. So one core is doing person detections and the other core is doing object detections. And even though the individual model might be too big, right? That's come to the kind of like a secret sauce that coming out from the MediaTek, which is what they call, we can extend the capability beyond the RAM. So it allowed you to load the model into the flash itself and dynamic load it into the RAM on the fly. So it helped you to kind of expand the RAM requirements requirements from the models.
Okay, but how about, I mean, I'm sure there's still use cases where folks may want to build their own model from scratch. Like us, have you actually done that. Like I know I'm not myself like a data scientist, so whenever there is Python, do you have any like experience in that regard?
Yeah, so coming from a device developer background, I totally can resonate to your experience. Data science is definitely way beyond my head. You know, like if we want to create a good machine learning model, we need to clean the data, extract features, select algorithm, all sorts of things. And I need to go back to, for school on this one, right? And that's what I like about the last partners that we are showcasing here, Edge Impulse. Edge Impulse is providing a complete tiny ML platform, a development environment platform that will allow you to create your models seamlessly from a platform and deploy it to the microcontroller class of device. But instead of me talking, Benjamin, I know you have done a lot of work with Edge Impulse on your site. Why not you show us some of your work with Edge Impulse?
Sure, of course. So Edge Impulse is this tool that helps with all things learning, right? And well, in inference as well. But in terms of learning and training, what I've done is essentially hook up my CPU device to Edge Impulse, and I can easily, using a local daemon on my machine, on my local PC, connect it and forward the data coming from the accelerometer or any sensor really into Edge Impulse. Here, acquiring some data, vibration data, is the device still or is it detecting vibrations? And then automatically I can use the built-in building blocks in Edge Impulse to run to do the feature extraction, what they call spectral analysis. So automatically it runs some FFTs and whatnot to extract a signal from my signal, and we can see visually that it seems to be the case indeed. There is some meaningful data that we can run through the neural network. Like automatically, the default configuration gets me pretty far already. The accuracy only 43%, well, going all the way to 100% now that I did a few more training cycles. And we can test the data and we can export a C++ library that's ready to use in Sphere or any other embedded application, really. And that's the beauty of it.
One thing that I realize we haven't talked about, but maybe that's a good news, I don't know, you guys tell me, is how about IoT? Like, we've been going pretty deep, I think, into TinyML, but how about sort of IoT-fying your TinyML, tiny intelligent devices? What's the next step, essentially, to take those insights into the cloud, into existing enterprise systems?
Yeah, that's the beauty of Azure Sphere, right? Azure Sphere come with a full suite of IoT-fications, I would say, all the way up from device security to cloud connectivity to your OS, everything come from Sphere out of the box. So that's a good thing if you run the TinyML on Azure Sphere.
I see. So you have all the APIs, all the tools that we've mentioned from like all the various partners in the TinyML ecosystem. And then, so that's for the TinyML part. And then for all things IoT, you have all the like similar APIs and SDKs that just like ship with Sphere, I guess, right?
Yeah, out of the box. So which means you can develop your own solutions tomorrow.
I see. So maybe that's what we want to people to do next, right? What do you think people watching us should be doing? Like, there's literally tons of sensors out there for like sensing the world. Maybe maybe people can try and like get a Sphere dev kit or something and get started with it.
Absolutely, get a Sphere dev kit, get the Azure subscriptions, and you're off to go.
Cool. Folks, just let us know what crazy, what cool, crazy projects you're going to build. Tell us in the comments. Make sure to subscribe to the channel, and there will be a blog post linked below with tons of links to the various things that Miguel and Lycus talked about, with lots of sample codes and so on. So please try it out. Let us know your experience, and talk soon.